Okay. Let's see if this works. It's okay. It's showing that one ring a dingy, two ring a dingy. Okay, we are listener supported, so please don't hesitate. Go to the home page and do a donate click, or the snail mail. Whichever you feel more comfortable to help share and keep us on air. Are you with me, Dennis?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, you're pretty scratchy.
All right. let me see if I can do something about that. Is that any better?
It is better. Yes, it is. Hey, how are you? Long time no hear.
It's been a while. Yeah, I think it was January the last time I was on here.
Whoa.
It's been a little while, so I've been rearranging my life, basically. My whole life is going to get rearranged.
Okay.
So I do this periodically.
Well, I think everybody's been going through some changes. I mean, so many changes. But
yeah,
you even changed your name.
Yeah, whatever's going on is, like, it affects everything, doesn't it? Ultimately, it's geopolitics, it's philosophical shifts. We've had the death of the Queen, which is a big shift, and then we've had a new Prime Minister, which is another big shift.
Well, yeah, I'd say that our president died because I swear he's not who Joe Biden was years ago. I mean, we're really living a bunch of fallacies that are just lies upon lies.
There's a lot of deception going on. There's a lot of foggy thinking and misunderstanding and deliberate lying and obfuscation and all of that. There's all sorts of things going on. It's hard to untangle it all sometimes.
Right.
But I don't know that we need to untangle it all. We just need to untangle the bits that are, like, I do the thing that's in front of me. So if there's something that needs looking at, I'll look at it. And if not, I try my best not to get too involved in stuff unless it's right in front of me. And that way I can keep it simple.
Right.
But there's a lot of political to-ing and fro-ing going on in Britain at the moment. And although it's high-level political rearranging, it's a budget, so it affects people's finances in the end. So it affects everybody. So you can't really avoid that. You've got to at least keep an eye on it. We'll see what happens. There's been a lot of drama over the last couple of weeks. So there was a mini budget without any figures that they just really. They made it up as they were basically. It was an idealistic budget. It was a budget of what they wanted to happen, and they just did it without the normal budgetary forecasts or anything. So that spooked the markets, which spooked the mortgage companies. So everybody's going to be paying more in their mortgages as a result of somebody not doing their homework, basically.
Right. Well, because people haven't been taught how. Everything's been so untaught. You know what I mean? You can't even do cursive writing anymore. And other things like that. It's like weird.
Yeah, it's like we're losing the skills that we had. And everybody's carrying a skill, but it's got to be passed on. Whatever skills we've got have got to be passed on or made into an institution that can pass them on or something like that.
Well, that's what they want to say the universities are, but the universities are all corporate owned. There's no true education anymore. I mean, they're taking the facts and making it their reality that aren't true facts.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna have to be passed on by people renting a room and bringing their friends in and having a conversation, basically. So there's like local community center level. It's not going to be university level that passes anything on now.
Right.
Because it's been caught up in whatever's going on. Whatever the big corporate machine is captured it.
Gonna have to be done fast. People don't realize Agenda 21's already happening last year, which is not good because it gives the power over to the governments to be able to take whatever it is that we've earned and that we have and we're supposed to own away from us like it doesn't mean anything.
Well, Agenda 21's been around for 30 years. I remember seeing Agenda 21 in the 90s.
Right.
At local council level, I think it was being discussed, and then they had to vote on it, but it's all been handed down, obviously, from on high, and then the local level just votes on it and slightly rearranges things if it's necessary. But, it's been there for people to see. It's just people weren't looking, but now they're looking. So that's a bonus, at least. At least there's more eyeballs on these things.
Are you really seeing that?
Well, there's 30. I do a demonstration on the Tyne Bridge on a Friday afternoon, and there's 30 people show up for that, which isn't a huge amount, but it's 30 people showing up every Friday.
Nice.
So, I mean, just standing on the Tyne Bridge with a placard, basically, with a big yellow board, which more or less needs to say the end of the world is nigh or something similar. But lots of different messages, but everybody shows up, and it's kind of a community because they show up in other places as well.
Right.
So that without the last 2.5 years, that wouldn't have happened. That community wouldn't be there. So right. There are things emerging from the last 2 years or the last 2.5 years that are going to be, I mean, that's the community that's going to be passing down the skills because they're determined that they're going to get vegetable gardens together. They're going to be trading whatever skills we've got.
Right.
We haven't worked out the details yet, but we're going to get it together so that we can exchange skills without money.
Yeah.
And it's good. So that wouldn't have been there 2.5 years ago. None of those people knew each other 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that every town on the planet has got something like that going on, or a good number of them anyway.
I just had to think this, but tell people who you are, because even though we might have a bunch of oldies and goodies out there, we might have some new people. So, Mr. Dennis, explain who you are.
All right, okay. So, I turned up a couple of years ago at Revolution Radio to do a show called Free Association.
Right.
And I didn't know what it was going to be at the time. I just said yes when somebody asked me to do a show and introduced me to the management. And then the show kind of evolved. So, it started out as a philosophy show, and now it's more of a geopolitics and philosophy show with some social stuff in there as well. But it's Saturday morning, your time, Saturday afternoon, my time, mm-hmm. on Studio B. Cool. And I'm doing a music show during the week now as well, which is called Technocratic Tyranny Blues, which is my main project at the moment.
Oh.
As I'm having fun with that on the Hawk's Nest.
Nice. Yeah, so
it's a nice combination of it's a nice combination of Hawkwind and the Bee Gees.
Cool.
So it can be anything. I don't do genres. I don't do any of that kind of categorization stuff. I just play what I feel like playing. So it can literally be. In fact, it was last night, Hawkwind followed by the Bee Gees. But it's got a good vibe to it, and it's I've got the technical issues ironed out now, just about. So it's getting to the point where you can actually listen to it without feedback now, which is a good thing.
Yeah, kind of.
So that's what I do, and I hop on here and there and do conversations with people now and again. But most of the time, I'm not really in self-promotion mode. I just kind of do my own thing.
Right, but we need to promote because we got to get funds. Oh, that's what I was going to do. See, I didn't even remember I was going to do that. I made a video to share that to help raise money for the station when Mike was still alive. So that's one thing I have to remember to do, but I don't mind suggesting that people help us stay on air because we're doing our best to try to help make the changes that are going to make a better tomorrow, no matter what it is, even if it's listening to music, because that'll take all the stress off of you.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm doing it, because if I start to do too much of the eugenics stuff, it does my head in. So I have to do the radio, the music show, kind of nice. Counterbalances all the heavy stuff.
Nice. Yeah. I play solitaire.
Yeah, everybody does their own thing in their own way. Right. And it's all good, because we're all supposed to be different. There's no point in everybody being the same person. We've all got to be different. Because we've all got a different combination of skills to pass on and a different set of beliefs to see the world through, right, and all of that. So
we also have different interests. We are different people.
Yeah, you know, totally.
You know, I'm a twin sister. Her and I are so completely not alike in any phase, actually.
Yeah, the world would be a dull place if we all got on with each other all the time, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, kind of. Well, I'd like a little boredom every now and then. I mean,
yeah, so would I, quite honestly. I'm sick to death of all this drama, all this kind of political drama does my head in. I have to kind of look at it, because I'm commenting on it on the podcast that I do, but I take a gap. Every couple of weeks, I'll take a week off from the politics, because it just is too much. It's never ending.
Right. Yes. Well, but it sometimes people have to hear things more than once. You know, and that's the one thing, too, is that we think that, oh, well, we don't want to repeat ourselves. But that's why when I bring up the idea of doing a donating, I say, a donate click, a donate click, a donate click, you know, so they hear me.
Yeah, no, I get that. It's repetition's an important thing. If an idea is going to go in, you have to hear it more than once, really.
Well, we're
but that's why that's why we're on the bridge every week, because it's the same, same time every week, so it's the same cars going past every week.
Right, and they're not, it's like everybody learns a different way, and, you know, maybe they're doing something else, and, oh, this was the first time I've seen this, even though it's been there for how long, you know, so, yeah, we just aren't always aware, and every so often, because this October is going to be one heck of an astrological cluster of recognizing or seeing that change is coming, and we got to be the ones making it, not them.
Yeah, well, I'm ready for it. I'm a different person than the person who first showed up at Revolution Radio 2.5 years ago. I'll tell you, Mona.
Right? I'm
a different person because of the last 2.5 years. So I've learned things about myself that I wouldn't have learned any other way.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm taking it all, the whole thing, as a positive, despite the fact it's negative for some people. It's positive for other people, and I'm taking the positive from it, and I'm going to use whatever courage I've found and whatever way of thinking I've found to understand it. And I've got I've got a kind of model of the world that makes sense to me, mm-hmm. that I use to interpret things that I didn't have 2.5 years ago. Because I arrived the week before we started the lockdown, so the timing of my show and the timing of lockdown is totally in sync.
Right.
So I take the whole thing as a learning curve, and I'm kind of expressing what I've learned through the show or through the shows, because the music side of things has got a bit of a message to it as well. If you're looking for it, you'll see a message. It's not a huge big deal, but there's something in there every now and again. Just by the collection of music that I'm playing and the way that I'm playing it.
Right.
There's a kind of, I'm trying to express a certain type of thing with the show. So it's got to have some old 70s blues in it, because it's called Technocratic Tyranny Blues.
Right.
And it's got to have some joy in it. So somewhere along the line, the jazz funk and the disco showed up as well, just to express the joy part of what I'm trying to express. And I did, when I started the music show, I knew I was going to be playing old 70s blues based rock mostly, but I didn't know the jazz funk was going to be there, and I didn't know the disco was going to be there. So the show kind of creates itself as I go along.
Right.
Which is an interesting experience for me. Because I'm just letting it happen. I'm just getting out of the way and letting it happen.
Well, that's about sometimes the only way it's going to get done properly, right?
Yeah, exactly, because my head gets in the way otherwise.
Yeah, right. Yes, I have that impression every now and then too. But I know I can't control everything, and that's where the synchronicity and the, what do you call it, when it just happens, you know? Let it just happen.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, the Saturday is a bit more structured and a bit more, it's more of me. But the music side, the music shows up. It's like the music shows up, and then a week later it's in the show.
Neat.
Or it's on the playlist ready to be in the show, so in case I forget about it. And now I've started meeting, like, I met a classical composer on Saturday, so I'm talking to him about using some of his music on the show as well.
Mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
So there'll be some German avant-garde classical stuff shows up at some point, I would imagine.
Yeah, why not?
Exactly. If I'm meeting musicians, I mean, there's some guys I know from when I was 16 who were about to reform a punk band that they were in when they were 16. And right. I'm going to play some of that stuff as well.
Cool.
Because it's got a kind of do it yourself and don't let the system grind you down kind of attitude, which is a punk attitude is kind of what I've got, but I don't express it in a kind of direct way. It's in me, because I was 16 when that was happening. So it's part of what was happening when I was growing up. So I've internalized some of it, even though I didn't like it at the time because it was a bit too aggressive for me.
Right.
But I've got the do it yourself kind of attitude, and I've got the if you have to do it outside of the system. That's my approach. Which is why I've ended up at Revolution Radio, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a punk aesthetic to it.
Yeah, it's so interesting that I'll be listening to old songs, and the next thing I know is I'm hearing the words and going, am I really? Was I actually singing that? Because it was derogatory, you know?
Yeah, I've been wandering around all day singing When a Blind Man Cries by Deep Purple, because I played it the other night.
Okay.
It's in my head now.
Right.
So I'm literally wandering around in Newcastle with a Deep Purple tune from 1971 going around in my head, which is a great tune. And I'll probably play that again tonight. It's a really, really nice tune. But there's lots of variation. There's no fixed. I'm doing a show on Podbean before I do the show on the Hawk's Nest. So I've kind of got a build up. I've got an hour that I do on Podbean, which has got an audience in the chat room there, and then I do an hour on the Hawk's Nest. So sometimes it's an extension. Sometimes I do them as two separate shows, depending on the mood I'm in.
Right.
But it works. At one point I was trying to do the two shows together and just broadcast in two different places, but that was too complicated. It didn't really work, so I had to do them separately.
Well, but does that mean that you have two full hours, or do you go further in 2 hours?
Well, I do. Yeah, I've got two full hours and then usually an extra 10 minutes or so. I always end up doing an extra 10 or 15 minutes at the end. But it's just a nice, the way the timing works is at 10 o'clock till 11 o'clock my time. So it's just me unwinding before I go to sleep, really, as much as anything.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go back to work, it'll be a way of just, so the radio show becomes my own part of my unwinding process.
Mm-hmm.
From the day. So it'll work in its own way that there as well.
So have you gotten called back to work?
I'm talking to a marketing company about doing some door-to-door work for a charity.
Huh.
Signing people up to do donations for a charity. But it's not due to happen until next week. And I'm a bit iffy with it. I don't know whether it'll happen. It might happen. If it does, I'll do it. And if it doesn't, I'll do something else. But it's lined up. I've signed all the paperwork. So it's just a matter of when they want me to start, really.
And so you'll get paid to collect money door to door.
It's commission only, this one, so I have to sign people up to make any money, but it'll be all right. It'll either work or it won't, but it won't cost me anything to find out.
Right.
So I'm going to know within 2 or 3 weeks. I'll know whether it's going to work for me or not. But it's a children's cancer charity, so it's an easy thing to sell, I think, on the doorstep. I don't think it'll be difficult to get people to sign up. But I don't know till I get there. It's just one of those things. It's like, it looks good on paper.
Right.
But whether it happens in reality or not is another thing, because sometimes these things look, everything looks good on paper. You can't tell until you're actually doing it.
Well, and if they do administrative cost over the donating to the cause, then there's something the matter.
Yeah, well, it's a business, so they've got to cover their own costs, and everybody's on commission, so there's three levels of people taking commission. But the idea is to sign people up who are going to stay for 5 years, so the charity will make money, and they get a regular donation, so they know where the money's coming from. That's the important thing.
We're at a break. We'll be right
back. Right.
Yeah.
join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming. And it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Yeah, there's been such a flipping. This one video I'll share it in the chat. That the first was the cattle that all got destroyed by supposedly freezing temperatures or some anomaly that didn't, and the fish are next. And now they're killing all the fishes in the waterways, so then we can't have fish to catch to eat. So it's a worldwide thing, and of course it's got to be probably from chemtrails or something else, but we're in deep trouble. And I don't know how to passively not respond.
Yeah, it's difficult to know how to deal with it, but there's a perception thing going on as well. It's like the all of these things, chemtrails and toxicity in food and slaughterhouses being blown up and catching fire and all, whatever the thing was that was going on, it's designed to reinforce fear or reinforce feeling helpless, I think.
Right.
As much as anything. It's a feeling of being overwhelmed with all of these things that are going on, and the only thing you can do is just to recognize that, right, here and now it's okay. Here and now I've got food. Here and now I'm able to look after myself and able to stand with my head up and be who I am. When the time comes where I need to actually confront somebody about that stuff, I'll be ready for it, because I'm focused on here and now, then I can't get overwhelmed. And if I'm not overwhelmed, then I can stand up and I can say no. So to me, it's like I'm filtering things out as much as I am filtering things in. I mean, I posted something this morning on my podcast, which was a Stu Peters Karen Kingston conversation. I think we must have showed up on BitChute this morning, but it's a very dramatic conversation. Karen Kingston's talking about nanotechnology and the vaccines and all of that, and how it's going to get activated by 5G. Well, that's the thing that I was focused on this morning, and I found myself with all this conversation going around in my head even after I'd stopped listening to it. So then I had to calm my head down a little bit again.
Right.
And I think it's, although I did post it because it was an interesting conversation, I'm a bit critical of the language and the emotion that was in it, because at one point she calls for 5G towers to be pulled down.
Okay.
But she does it in a way that, where two sentences before she's saying we need to protest peacefully.
Right.
But then the emotion in her voice when she's saying these towers need to be pulled down, you forget that she said that she wants it to happen peacefully.
So you can tear them down peacefully. I mean, you know, as long as somebody doesn't come along behind you and tell you you're not allowed, because then that would be unpeacefully.
The issue I've got with it, Mona, is that 5G is communications infrastructure. So attacking infrastructure becomes terrorism.
Oh.
So then it becomes a police response and a military response.
Oh yeah, the U.S.
So
is willing and waiting.
So it's a tricky thing to call for, even if you're doing it peacefully. I've still got to work my way through thinking about how that's going to happen. But to me, we need to be careful about the emotion we're putting into stuff as well. Because people respond to the emotion as much as they do the language.
Right.
So it might not be Karen Kingston that's going tearing down 5G towers, but somebody will, and they'll get arrested and put in prison for it. And they'll be doing it as a result of what she said on the Stu Peters show. So we need to be a bit more careful about what we say and how we say it.
Okay.
That's just me. That's the way I reacted to that particular conversation this morning. I still posted it, but I was kind of cautious about it, because it fired me up, and I'm not really a bloke. I'm not a guy who's going to go out and tear down a 5G tower, but it fired me up, and I had the conversation going around in my head. So other people are going to have the same thing.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So. Words do have power, and they have an impact.
True.
Same with this mini budget that happened last week. It had an impact on the mortgage market, which has an impact on everybody's finances. So it's easy to sit in academia and have an economic model, and then suddenly you become chancellor and you can put your economic model into practice, but it has real world effects.
Right.
So I think we need to be careful with this stuff. So I don't know how we solve the problem, but I think we need to be careful with the emotion we put into it. Because the emotion can make things worse rather than make things better sometimes.
I can't deny that. Look at what happened for 9/11.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The big, everybody's eyes are on the same thing, and that becomes a focus of its intention that it lasts for 10 years or 15 years, event. So it's like there's a knock-on effect with all of these things. Even a radio show has a knock-on effect somewhere because somebody's listening to it, and they might be internalizing what I'm saying or how I'm saying it or whatever.
Right.
I mean, it's not my response. Their actions aren't my responsibility, but the cause and effect is there. Do you know what I mean?
True. It should prove that we need to get a lot stronger and not allow the energies to feed the loosh like that's what's happening. I mean, it's a time to grow up from it, not deny others their energies either. You know, because I think everybody, you know, you might be assuming that's the way it's coming out, but that's not the true factor of the intent of what it was being presented. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, Mona. It's just the way I was thinking about that conversation, like the Stu Peters conversation this morning. Right. I just thought, because I've got a bit of a problem with Stu Peters to begin with, because it's very emotional and it's very confrontational. Everything he does is emotional and confrontational.
He's a strong character, yes, he is.
So, and the people who watch that show are people who buy into the emotion and buy into the confrontation. So it's going to have an impact on them. And I don't know whether I wouldn't want to be the person that was delivering that message, because I don't know. His eyes look strange when he's sitting listening to Karen Kingston talking about nanotechnology and the potential end of humanity, which is what she was talking about this morning. He looks like a rabbit in headlights. He looks like a deer in headlights. He doesn't look like he knows what he's doing. So that makes me cautious as well. That's why I knew he didn't post it. But in the end, it's something that will spark a conversation, and the conversation might be worth more than the actual clip that I posted, because it'll generate a conversation that'll lead somewhere else, or will open, I don't know. There's only a couple of hundred people listening to my podcast anyway, but you never know where the conversations are going to go.
No, you don't. That's part of why we've got to try to keep our free will to be able to communicate, because they're trying to get them out of there. They're talking about cyber attacks on October 8th. Called Red October.
Right.
August 8th, somebody was assassinated. Or no, July 8th. Abe Shinju, Abe, whatever, was assassinated. August 8th, Mar-a-Lago raided by police or FBI. September 8th, Queen Elizabeth dies. Now, October 8th, they're thinking, what did I just say? Or TBD, whatever TBD is. I don't know what TBD is. Cyber attack. And then, on November 8th, midterm elections.
All right, so they've seen the pattern in the date.
Yeah,
that's fair enough, I suppose. It's there if you see it there, if you're looking for it. If you're looking for a pattern, you're going to see a pattern. So.
Right. Well, they all were the 8th of the month. July, August, September, October. Well, we'll see about October. But you're right. Because there used to be an earthquake thing that they would say every 66 days. Well, that's not true. that's not working like they want you to think it's working. So,
interesting. No, I know from my old astrology days, if you're looking for a pattern, you'll see a pattern.
Right.
No, it's no doubt about that. It's all pattern recognition and confirmation bias is a big part of everything that happens in life. So, for good and for ill.
Well, it's like they tried to make something out of 9/11 when it was another day completely different. I mean,
yeah, reducing the numbers to whatever.
Right. Oh, don't do that.
There's all you can find a connection. I can find a connection between anything and anything else in the world if I try hard enough. It doesn't mean that there's actually a link there. There are some obvious kind of levels of things that make sense if you put them in the same level or the same category. But
the same kind of energy that's going into it, right?
Yeah, I mean it's a categorization system, ultimately. Astrology is a categorization system. Tarot is a categorization system.
Right.
All of these things that people are seeing in dates are all just people putting things in categories.
True.
So there's definitely something going to happen on October the 8th, but whether you can link it to the previous thing and the next thing is another matter. It's me. If it's me that's looking for the meaning in the event, then it's me that's putting the meaning in the event. It's not the event itself that has the meaning.
Exactly.
So it's all. But it is all. It's pattern recognition. So it's all in my perception as much as it is in the outside world, if you like. The outside world is neutral. That I'm the one that's putting the meaning into it. Mm-hmm. It's the way that I approach it. So I might as well look for a positive meaning as a negative meaning, unless there's something dangerous going on, in which case I just run in the opposite direction.
Or just don't judge it at all.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. But if there's an immediate thing that's gonna if I'm gonna be killed by making a positive meaning out of something that's actually a negative, then I don't wanna do that. But most of the time the world's neutral. It doesn't look like it's neutral, but actually, it probably is. A lot of the last 2 years was positive for me, neutral for a lot of people, and negative for a lot of people. So,
right.
Some of it was negative, some of it was positive. But it depends how you approach it, what level of consciousness you approach it with, determines what you see. I think as much as anything.
True.
So the only thing I can control about that is what I do to maintain the consciousness that I've got and not be pushed in any direction by anybody else.
But then
because a lot of what's been happening over the last 2 years was coercion. It's effectively, it's mass media coercion or social coercion by individuals in a group. Standing up to a group of people is a hard thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do. So you need courage to do that. And I think a lot of people discovered their courage over the last 2 years.
Right, we hope so, yeah.
And that courage is going to come in handy. It may not be needed for another 5 years, but it's going to come in handy when it's needed.
You don't have 5 years, honey. I don't care what anybody says. No, this stuff's coming around now. It's in our face now where we should recognize what we do want to do with what we know.
I mean, I've been talking about artificial intelligence taking over for the last month or so. That's one of my things that's in my head at the moment. And it is likely to happen. And once the 5G rolls out, then the possibility exists that everything becomes connected to the cloud and then you lose the humanity from everything. Where the people were, you'll just have an automated system that with no humanity in it, no room for variation, no conversation. So we're going to have to get our conversation from somewhere else. And at that point, we'll probably get pulled into the metaverse and end up totally distorted by that. So there's a lot of challenges coming up, but I don't think they're insurmountable challenges. I think we can beat them. We beat them by just being joyful and being human, I think, as much as anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're trying to take away the humanity from people, and they're trying to take away the joy. So as long as we maintain the joy and maintain the humanity and see everybody as human, then they can't remove that. They don't get a choice about whether I see the world as being full of human beings or not, because I've decided that that's what I'm going to do. Once I've decided that I'm going to do that, nobody takes that away from me. And without that, they can't take the joy away. So as long as there's human beings on the planet, there'll be joy.
Right.
Somewhere down the line.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I'd like to work for that. I mean, why not, right?
Yeah, look for the beauty. Look for the beauty in the world. If it's all about confirmation bias, then it's the beauty in the world that's going to keep you going through the chaos and the negative stuff. So you have to be looking for that to be able to survive, to be able to get through. If you're not looking for the beauty, you don't have the anchor to get you through. You don't have the North Star or the compass that'll get you through. That's the compass. It's beauty, truth, and the good. It's Plato. Goes back to 2,500 years. But it's a basic principle. I think if you're looking for beauty, you can get out of depression, you can get out of anger, you can get out of suffering. Because the beauty will get you out of it. That's the thing that will get you out. Or will stop you from sinking into it.
Right.
So any amount of artificial intelligence is a challenge, but if you're looking for the beauty around it, then you're not going to get pushed around. You're not going to get coerced into doing anything you don't want to do. And then you can just stand up and be counted from there.
Right. But who's doing the counting, right? Is there someone is to know this stuff? You know that, right?
Well, it's part of being on the radio to have these types of conversations. And as long as we're having these conversations, people are going to know.
Right.
So.
Well, that's what we're here, I do believe, that to share in the consciousness so somebody can either get something out of it or something can move forward with whatever they got to think about. I mean, you know, some will cause pain, some will cause an aggravation, but, you know, it's up to you to make the choice of which one you want to carry around with you.
Exactly, exactly. And you might have to go through the anxiety to get to the other side of it. Sometimes you can't avoid it. You can't avoid the pain and the anxiety and the anger. You've got to feel it to let go of it. That's one thing I did discover over the last couple of years, well, the last 5 years or so, is unless you get angry, you can't let go of it.
Yeah, you sometimes...
You have to feel it to let go of it.
Right.
Doesn't mean you have to point it at anybody. It just means let it be. Let it be there. Accept it. And then consciously let it go.
Right.
And then slowly you uncover the beauty underneath, the beauty in the anger. The beauty and the anxiety is that when you feel it fully and you accept that it's just a feeling, then you're shrinking it and letting it go. So you're controlling it. It's not controlling you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And
we all need to face. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's once you once you're on that kind of path, it's a emotional freedom technique kind of. That's the technique that I use for that. I used to do it on the radio show on a Saturday. I had a version of emotional freedom technique that took about a minute and a half to do. I simplified it to the point where it was just me talking, and let it. I couldn't do it live, but I could do it a version of it. If I did a session before the show, I could do a version of what I'd just done on the show. I tried to do it live a couple of times, and I got caught up in the emotion a bit too much, so it wasn't really a good idea to do it live. But it's an interesting thing.
Well, at least you're conscious enough to recognize it. So many people wouldn't be able to. They'd be melting. They'd be having such a hard time that they even had to think, let alone recognize what was going on, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it can be difficult, but if you focus on one thing at a time, and then when you've completed the thing that's on the surface, then the next thing will come up to be worked through. So it can be a long process, but it gets there in the end. And it's just once you get into the habit of letting it go, feeling it, accepting it, and then letting it go, then it starts to happen automatically. And when it starts to happen automatically, then you can move on to the next thing.
Right.
So it's just a matter of getting in the habit. It's a very simple thing, just to get into the habit of letting stuff, feeling it and letting it go. But nobody told me this when I was growing up. I had to work it out when I was 55. So it's one of those things. I had a lot of stuff bottled up that I had to let go of, but I got rid of it. It's gone now, so I can start to live my life properly now.
Well, it's always in change, though, so properly, you might see a few things that you might not think is so proper. I mean, we all go through that.
No doubt. But I'm having fun in the process at the moment.
Well, that counts. That counts more out of any of it, right?
Yeah. You've got to have fun with it. You've got to have fun with it. Because if you take it seriously, then you're attached to it. You're not letting it go.
All right, Dennis. We got done. We are done. The music is playing.
All right, Mona.
Thanks for joining me, honey. Good to hear from you.
No worries. Take care.
All right, later.
Do it, man. Why? Some kind of war junkie? I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, number one listener-supported radio, the printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs, government corruption. This is Revolution Radio.